With the help of the Lord, I would like to look into the book of Hebrews in chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12.
Ljubezni, čitat će se iz Jevrejima poslanice 12. glava. Jevrejima poslanica glava 12.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight of and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. And furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us as after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. And wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And looking diligently, lest that any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place to repentance. Of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched at the burn with fire, nor with blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned and thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto the Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. And wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. May God bless the reading of the word. Let us bow before him in prayer.
We rejoice this afternoon, and with thankfulness, Lord, we bow before thee. It's a great privilege and blessing to be able to worship thee this day, to lift up our hearts and thoughts and minds, to thank thee, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit, for the opportunity to gather together us from far and near, and that we may look unto thee, the living God, as well as the Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the author and the finisher of our faith. May we walk in that faith, trusting each and every step of our way unto thee in our lives as long as we live. For by this word and the power of thy Holy Spirit, thou speakest to us, that we recognize that this word is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path that will take us up in heavenly mansions into eternity, that we would be with thee forever and ever. May we therefore thank thee for this gift from heaven and place our hearts and minds and thoughts unto the spiritual things that will last forever, that we may forsake all the things that could distract us and lead us away and separate us from thee. For even as we read in thy word, what shall separate us from the love of God? May it be that nothing would separate us, Lord, for our faith and trust is placed in thee, thy power, and the true foundation of the faith that stands firmly forever. That we would walk in a spirit and forsake all the ways of carnal beings. May we think and raise our hearts and minds, would be spiritual minded, knowing that that is what will bring us unto thee and will keep us close together. Lord, therefore, we ask that thou wouldst teach us of thy ways, instruct us to follow thy commandments, give us strength that we would obey him and desire and will to fulfill him each and every day of our lives as long as we live. That when a time comes, we will hear thee, thy word, voice that would say, Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord. Bless our congregation, bless our being here, each and every one, and provide all necessary strength and guidance in spiritual ways that we would trust in thee and walk in the path of truth and righteousness to follow thee, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, whose the kingdom is everlasting kingdom that endureth throughout all generations. It is the only way we may trust and follow. It will be well with us and with our soul, and therefore may it be praise, glory, and honor unto thee forever and ever. We thank thee in the name of Jesus. Amen.
As the apostle wrote these and penned these words, and it seems that it's not certain that it was the apostle Paul. However, the writings and the things that he talks about in this chapter have us lead to believe that it is quite similar to his way of writing letters to the churches. And so here we find this where the letter was written to the Hebrews. And he reminds us that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. In other words, the life in which we live, people are watching us. And so that's why he recommends us here that we lay aside every weight of sin that so easily doth beset us, and let us run the race with patience that's set before us. And how do we do that? Looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then we consider him for this contradiction, as it says here, such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest we be weary and faint in our minds. So what he's saying here, that we are his children, we face up temptations and problems, trials, just as Jesus Christ did. And we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. In other words, there's people all around us, and they see, and they'll notice, they'll watch how you live. And they're quick to notice if you've failed or done anything wrong, and many times called to your attention. So we have this responsibility. We're God's children. We're compassed about with so great a cloud of sinners, and all we need to do is consider our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and how the contradiction of sinners he went through, and the troubles, the priors, the troubles, the temptations that faced him are far worse than what we're compared to. Because he says, we have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And so he reminds us here that we have forgotten, he says here, the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. So you see, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, and we find that we are serving the Lord in the best abilities that we can. And when we do fail, and it's oft times we do admit to that, and when we do fail, we come to him, confess our faults, and he is just and right to forgive us our trespasses. And so when this comes about in our lives and we realize this, and we hear the words of God, or maybe we turn to the Lord and turn to the Word, and we try to comfort ourselves with the leading of the Spirit. And so, how does that happen? The Lord opens up something to us that corrects us in our ways. It's called chastening. Now, I can confess to you that the Lord has chastened me many times. But he's never chastened me. He's never come down and said, Bob, you did this, you're bad, you have no business, I'm going to, whatever. He's never done that. But when I've opened up the Word And I've read in here how I have failed, how the things that I should have done in my life as a believer in Jesus Christ and failed to do it, I feel ashamed of myself. And that's the chastening that he's talking about here. And God will do this to you if you're willing. If you want to look into the Word, if you want to find out what exactly we're supposed to do because of the things that we haven't done, we will be chastened. Rest assured. But don't look at that chastening as something bad or something harmful to you. Because when God chastens us, it says in here that he does this because you're his son or daughter, if you will. He don't do this just because he's God. He does it because there's a good reason why the Lord chastens us. Because he wants us to better ourselves. He wants us not to fail him. He wants us to do what is right and to walk worthy of the vocation in which we're called. This is why we're chastened. And he said, don't faint when this comes. Don't feel bad. Don't be crying around because, oh, the Lord chastened me. No, no. The Lord does this for a good reason, and it's for you and for me to better ourselves. He puts us into a comparison here. Remember your fathers, earthly fathers. They chastened you. They chastened you for a reason. When we was bad, we were corrected. That's what this chastening is all about, is correction. And we were corrected. So he uses this metaphor, the fathers, this is what they did to their children. And we accepted that. Maybe not liked it very well. I mean, after all, I don't remember liking getting a spanking from my mom. My dad never spanked me. I never cared much for a good spanking from my mom. But it was for my good. And she didn't do it just because she didn't have anything else to do. She did it to correct me. She didn't want me going down that path. She wanted me to obey and listen to because she has gone through many things, trials and tribulations, didn't want me going that way and would correct me. And this is what God does. He does this with us through his word, maybe through a sermon, maybe through a song, maybe just reading his word, maybe a friend saying something to you, maybe a close companion of yours corrects you and says, excuse me, but that wasn't very, very nice of you as a Christian, as a God-fearing person. This is the chastisement that can come our way. And dearly beloved, let us accept that as from the Lord. Regardless if it's a converted soul or an unconverted soul, it doesn't make a difference. If we're wrong, we need corrected, let's take it. Let's listen to it. Let's obey it. And this is what I believe there is what he's saying to us here. This is what we need. And so as he says here, now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. This is the reason that he does it. If we're willing to accept it, if we don't faint in our heart, and if we listen to what his and accept him as our correction for our lives. And so he encourages us here, don't hold a pity party, if you will. Poor me, I got corrected, I got chastened, and oh, I feel so bad. And no, he says, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So you see, in other words, pull up yourself by the bootstraps, stand up straight, and make your path straight. Get over it, in other words. Move on. Take the correction. Accept it as from God and walk the way that you need to do. This is exactly what this is telling us here. And so it's only an encouragement for us. It's a way of life to us. And we need to listen up and be obedient to what it's saying. Because he says, Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Without no man shall see the Lord. So we accept this as chastening from the Lord. We make peace with all men, as he says here, and we live holy lives. Then rest assured, we will see the Lord. Otherwise, you're going to live in misery. Otherwise, you're going to be going down the wrong path. Otherwise, you're going to not accept any correction from anybody. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding will escape your heart. Rest assured. So he says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And so he talks about Esau here. Don't be giving up and don't just throw in the towel because of what you have done. This is what Esau did. And then he tried to repent. He couldn't find even a space to repent of it. And he was a miserable human being. And if you and I do the same thing, we fail to repent from it, we fail to acknowledge our wrongs, we will be miserable people. The peace of God that passes all understanding will in fact escape us. Rest assured. You know why? Because Satan will see to it that it happens. He will try the best he can to rob you of your peace, and he will come along and accuse you. The Bible says he is an accuser of the brethren. He goes to God and he accuses the brethren. But thanks be to God, we have a mediator, Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who intercedes for us. We can read it in James. It talks about interceding for us. He cares for us. And God does too. But when he corrects us and he chastens us, it's for our own good. Because he says here, for we are not come into the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness of tempest, and the sound of trumpet and the voice of words, which they that heard it entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. So he's talking about this when Moses went up to the mountain and he got the Ten Commandments, and that mountain shook, and they were not allowed to go near it, not even an animal. And this is what he's talking about. It was to be thrust in with a dart. Not one thing was to be on that mountain at that time. And he's saying, we have not come to that kind of a mountain. We have not come to that. We don't live in that era. That was the way God dealt with his people then. But he deals with us with grace and mercy and love in this day and age. Not that he didn't have any grace and not that he didn't have any love for them, because he chastened them as well. He corrected them. You can read in the Old Testament time and time again where he warned them and talked to them and sent Moses and all the prophets to intercede and to talk and to teach and so forth. And they would accept it. Many times they would accept it. Yes, and they admitted, yes, we have done wrong. We have sinned against our God. Turn around and do it all over again. Idolatry, whatever the case might be. And so the apostle writing this was familiar with these things that took place, and he warns us, we are not in that situation. And because he talks about it being so terrible, it says that even Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake, because he knew that he was dealing with the Almighty God. You know, that fear and that quake, we should have that as well. Not that we should be afraid of God, but that we should pay all reverence to him, because he is God. And he loves us, and he will correct us the way he wants to. And we need to accept that as part of his loving grace and mercy he bestows upon us. But he says, ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God and heavenly Jerusalem and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant and the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So this is where he's telling us there that we have this mediator. We have the grace of God. We have the love of God. That doesn't give us, because we have all of these things, give us a license to do whatever we want to do. The wrong, the sin, or the good, it doesn't make any difference. We don't have any right to that. Just because we are living in the period of grace and mercy. Yes, he has that. But he still chastens us, he corrects us to live the way that we ought to live. And so he says, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. So you see, this is our Almighty God. He not only shook the mountain and it quaked, he will shake the heavens as well as the earth. This is God, and he will do it. He can do it, and he will do it. But as he says here, if we don't listen to him, we're not all obedient, we don't want to hear his word, if we don't want to read this Bible, if you don't want to come here and hear the word of God spoken, then you're disobedient to his word, you're disobedient to his commandments, you're disobedient to his correction and his chastisement. But when we love to come, we want to hear it, and we're willing then to hear the voice of God speaking to us. And when we hear these kinds of things, we apply it to our lives. We apply it to ourselves. We don't apply this to someone else. And when I read this and I speak these words, I apply this to me. This is for me first. And the rest of you accept it as from God. And wherefore we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably and reverence with godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Grace and mercy he has? Yes. Does he exercise on us? Yes, he does. But remember, he is a consuming fire. And those of you that are not willing to hear the word, those of you that are not willing to accept his plan of salvation, those of you that don't want to have anything to do with being his child, you need to be concerned about this God that is a consuming fire. Because we can read in portions of scriptures where there is a place which was mentioned not once but several times. There is a place that's going to burn and burn forever because God can be this consuming fire. But he doesn't want that for us. His desire and his concern is that none should perish, that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And so this is his want and desire for every living soul. But not every living soul is interested in their own soul salvation, sad to say. But we must remember, he is a consuming fire. So let us look at this as a portion of scripture that it corrects us, that helps us, that teaches us. For his sake, let us serve him, let us love him, let us accept it as a chastisement from the Almighty God because we are children of God. And let us never forget that we will be chastened if we want to hear, if we want to listen. It is my prayer, my desire, that I would not want to fall into the ways, well, fall into the trap of sins that so easily beset us. Simply because there is a cloud of witnesses, and I always want to look at the author and the finisher of my faith, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is my mediator for my life to my God. Amen.
For conclusion, just a few words to mention what Brother mentioned in the beginning about the cloud of witnesses can take it in many different ways. As we read the first verse, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." The chapter of faith, 11th chapter, if we would read, we don't have time to read all that, talks about many different kinds of witnesses that have gone through so many difficulties and blessings. Just part of it to mention and bring it out. On verse 32 tells us, "And what shall I more say?" First of all, we can read it at home when you have time and study it all. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued the kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the enemies, and so on. Women received their dead raised to life again, and so others. So we can see that in the past we face the cloud of witnesses that we just can't even imagine how tough was life for Christians at the time. We would be reminded that many of the persecutions are taking place even in our times in some ungodly, sinful nations, and that we need to support them and pray for all those that believe in God and going through difficulties that needs strong faith in the Lord, the Jesus Christ, to overcome whatever comes their ways. We're reminded here in verse 22 when some of this have taken place that Moses says, "And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." And he had the reason. Because of seeing all the power of God, and we're thankful we don't have to go through such a horrible persecution as some did in the past. Nevertheless, we can kind of take things lightly, what we have. And as Moses were afraid, many times fear beset us and we're afraid to do anything. We're afraid to even do the work of the Lord. When we read in some of the verse says that Jesus came to his own received him not. Why did they not receive him? They were afraid. Or is that he? Is this Messiah? The person received the talent, only one talent, wrapped it up. Why? He was afraid. Afraid to lose it. And then at the end, he lost even that. We can have fear, but let's not have fear when we do things that are spiritual and centered, Jesus Christ-centered ways and things. Let us not fear when we face certain things that we are not sure, because in next chapter, just the first and second verse says, let the brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. When something is Christ-centered, something is spiritual, something is guided by the Holy Spirit, let's not be afraid. God is with us. For Jesus told us if we feed the hungry, we call them Christian duties or obligations, to visit the sick, clothe the naked, visit the sick and those in prison, we do it unto him. If we receive not, if we feed not, if we do not, also we do not to the Lord. Greater fear is coming to those that will hear the voice of the Lord when he will say, depart from me, I know you not. We don't want to be in that group. We want to be in hear the voice, joyful voice of the Lord to receive us into many mansions that are prepared for us and all those that serve the Lord. May God bless his word we heard today, and every time we open the scripture and word, meditate and progress and grow in faith, truth, love, and kindness. It will be well with us and with our soul. May God bless his word. Amen.